Texting between two different kinds of phones makes photos blurry, ugly, and security risky. Not just that, it also makes video calling, editing messages, or leaving a group nearly impossible. With WhatsApp, everyone can enjoy seamless messaging with the protection of end-to-end encryption. Streamline your messages across all devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with anyone you want. Click the banner or download now to learn more.
Today on Sticks In, it's Positive Friday. We've got a few midweek results from the college world to look at, including some special individual performances and the typical response that seems to follow them. Then it's our weekend preview. We'll go through the entire weekend slate, note some spreads, make some picks, talk some matchups as we get ready for another very busy weekend in the college lacrosse world. If you're enjoying the podcast, please do leave a like, subscribe, all that good stuff. And thank you again for being here. Let's do it. Welcome back, everybody. Positive Friday is here. Thank you all for joining me. My name is Dan Arestia. This is the Sticks In Podcast. Today is Friday, February 23rd. The season is basically fully going now. Pat Spencer has made the NBA on a two-way deal. Life could not be better. Everyone at this point has played some games in the college world. We're just waiting for that lazy NESCAC in D3 to get rolling, and then basically everybody will be able to say they are officially playing games that count. In D1, we had the Ivies join the fray. We've got a few results I think we should kind of just look at real quick from the midweek action in the college world. We won't touch on all of them, just kind of some of the squads that that were ranked, the ranked teams out there in the top 20 that were in action on Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll start with BU and Brown. BU won this game 16-10. I think Bruno showed a little bit of fight in this one. They got back to within, I think they had it to as close as like 11-10. But then obviously, you know, Terriers rattle off five straight there. So it ends 16-10 and that's that. Aiden McLean had 6 goals on 17 shots. Nobody else in the team took more than 5. Bruno's got to find a little bit of balance there in that offense. They need to get other guys in the mix, stepping up, being productive on the score sheet. Jack Kelly took 5, no goals. To me, it's crucial. He's involved. He's scoring and he's a big, you know, part of the offense for them. I think if you're Bruno right now, you need to look and try and find ways to get more guys involved and productive on that offense. For BU, Perfetto had 7 goals, 9 points. He's got 28 in 4 games. Only Joey Spolina has more points right now than Perfetto. And Spolino's played an extra game. Per game, they're basically the same amount of points. They're basically doing about 7 a game, which is wild. He's been so dynamic for them. As a Dodger, as an off-ball player if you need to be, as a feeder, he can be the scorer. Perfetto has really stood out on offense. You obviously the first person you've been thinking of with that team lately, you know, the last couple of years has been Vince Dialto. But for me right now, it all goes with the way Perfetto's going. So I think he's been excellent for them. BU exercises that loss that they had to Bryant pretty well in this one, I think. Back on track. And they get a little bit of time off now. They're not playing over the weekend. They don't play again until next weekend when they play Navy. Penn beat Albany 11-7. It's the first win for the Quakers. Ben Smith, I think, had 4 goals. Leo Hoffman, a pair of assists. Lots of guys in this game had points. Lots of guys in the mix. That's a good sign to me. It's an offense that's getting more comfortable, getting more guys, you know, touching the rock, sharing it. Emmett Carroll was over 70% in goal. I think, you know, again, especially early in the year, getting those games from him is huge as that offense kind of figures itself out. So him staying in the form he had last year, I think, is big. You know, I think I'm still trying to figure Penn out a little bit, but I think this was a nice step forward for them. Albany, of course, Pisano, of course, was everywhere. 5 ground balls, 4 cost turnovers. He's involved on both ends of the field. He alone right now is a reason to buy a ticket and go to an Albany game. If you can, you just got to. But, I mean, honestly, there's more. Graydon Hogg and Silas Richmond are also very good players. The Danes have some exciting talent. I think they're going to hang tough with people. So 11-7 there. Albany was in that one for a while. Harvard 14, Bryant 13. This game was awesome. Absolutely awesome. Both of these teams were receiving votes squads this week, so I think you can probably bet that Harvard finds their way into the top 20 unless they somehow lose to Bucknell over the weekend. Harvard trailed by two late in this game. Bryant looked like their offense was going to run away with it, as their offense can do. But the of course, like, you know, it's a Jerry Byrne defense we're talking about here. They big stands late. They strung together a bunch of big stops. They hold Bryant to that 13 as Harvard was down 13-11. And Harvard comes back and wins it with their offense. I think this is like, you know, the midweek game that goes back and forth, big play after big play. This one was a lot of fun. I kind of had it on the side as I was recording the podcast on Tuesday night. And so I was kind of like, had one eye on it. And then I, you know, spent a little more time watching it and was just so thoroughly entertained. Harvard's going to be in my neck of the woods this weekend for that Bucknell game. So I'm excited about that. More on that in a bit. Last two games that are worth kind of a mention from the midweek. Q's 18-7 win over Utah and a Yale 21-11. Big win over Colgate. Those two games, obviously, yes, as I tell you, those scores are one-sided. I get all of that. But I wanted to talk about something else kind of related to those games for a second. And I debated whether or not this was even worth the time. But I don't know. It's just, look, man, it's my podcast. I'll talk about what I want. During the Syracuse game, Joey Spallina notched his 100th career point. And during the Yale game, Matt Brando had 13 points. He had a legit shot at the single game points record in that. He was up to 11, I think, still in the first half. The single game record is 16. So he very much had a shot. I think that record's extremely hard to break, just as a little tangent, because by the time a guy has 13 points like this game, it's probably over, and he's not going to stay in the game to get those last 4 points. So, you know, getting to 17, it sounds pretty undoable. But anyway, he finished that game with 7 assists, 6 for 6 shooting. Obviously, those are, you know, those are big kind of career moments and milestones for those guys to have those kind of games and reach those marks. So as they were kind of happening, naturally, I tweeted about Joey's accomplishment of reaching 100 points. I pointed out that he did it faster than each of the last 5 Tewaritin winners. I was kind of tweeting about Matt Brandau's game as it was going on, as he was perfect shooting and playing and just piling up points. And you know this is going to happen when you send posts like this. When you do that, two things happen, basically. One, it puts out there that the player is doing something noteworthy, something special, something worthy of recognition, or is just downright a really cool thing that's happening. You know, 13 points in a game, 6 for 6 shooting. It's really awesome. It's worthy of being recognized. It's to let people know this thing is happening or has happened. And it's a cool moment for the player. It's a cool moment for lacrosse. Check this thing out. It's pretty awesome. History book kind of stuff. The second thing it does when you post this is I imagine it as setting off like a phone or an alarm somewhere, like Buffalo Wild Wings style. Like there's some red phone that rings and it just alerts like across the nation, haters far and wide, like the contract on John Wick's life. They all just get this buzz on their phone like, hey, somebody said something positive. You better find a reason why it's bad. So the haters come out of the woodwork, fire off takes. They log into their burners and maybe even they use their actual name. Who knows? But they just have takes about how why both of these things aren't actually that cool. For Spallina, obviously, it's the usual stuff. Oh, he's stat padding against bad teams. You know, he's beaten up on He's beaten up on Vermont to start the year. You know, for the record, speaking of Maryland, he averages 4 points a game in his career against the ACC, Maryland, Hopkins, and Princeton. He's still good then, folks. Like, you know, and then when you say that, people come back with the old, like, well, what about this one game when this happened? It's like, man, at that point, you are hating for the sake of hating. You know, that's all you're doing. We're talking about a career achievement. What about this one time? Well, all right. Cool. Still did it, has reached an unbelievable career milestone. Seems like Joey does fine in just about every game he plays. You know, for Brandau, it's the usual stuff. Oh, he's been there forever. He's old. He's played just as many games as everybody else, but he's old. He's a year older. He's 2 years older, whatever. You know, I have special breaking news for you here. Brandao is not the only player his age in college lacrosse. He is the only player who had 13 points the other night. Spallina is not the only player who plays a schedule with some teams where he might score some more points than he would against a top five team. Everybody does that at the top of the game. The reason I say this is it feels like there's like this formless, nebulous set of rules and circumstances that add up to a player doing things in a way that make it count versus maybe it doesn't really count. I don't know. Well, he has to do it in just 4 years, and every opponent has to be top 20, and he has to start every game, and if someone else had more, he really didn't do it, and if any defender wins a matchup against him, then it really doesn't count because he didn't win every single time out, and then, you know, it has to happen, or all that has to happen, or the number's bogus. Or, I guess it's not that great. If you're one of the people that does that kind of thing, just like, congrats, you hate sports. Turn the TV off. Log off the social for a while. Stop reading shit. Just take a walk somewhere calm and quiet and like just try and be at peace for a minute. Because spending your time hunting for ways to poke holes in like career achievements of a college athlete is a sign you just need to find a little more joy. That's what consuming sports is supposed to be about. You feel good for these players doing incredible things. That's not, I feel like it's just not a healthy thing to watch kids play college sports and have that be like the outlet for your negativity. Just be happy that these guys are doing really cool things all across field. You don't have to go find some way to make it stink or for it to be not as good as it was when I did it or when I was their age. Like, you don't need any of that. It's cool. Everything can be good. It was all fun. It's Positive Friday. Stop trying to make people feel bad about it. It's just shitty. Anyway. Probably more time spent on that than needed, but we can just get right into the college slate for the weekend. Quick Friday here, where cool things will happen and should be celebrated and enjoyed. I'm just going to say it. Something awesome is going to happen on Friday. Don't find a way to shit on it. Enjoy it. There's games, as you're listening to this on Friday, there are three games today. UMass Lowell and Siena. Siena, it's fair to say they have underwhelmed to start the year. I did not think they would start the year 0-2. I was not as high on them as maybe some others were. I was definitely not down on them or anything, but did not think they would be 0-2. They are a three-goal favorite here. They're still an experienced team. It's pretty senior-heavy. This feels to me like an opponent and a week where they show some pride. They put out a better performance. I am going to take Siena -3. Give me the Saints against UMass Lowell. I know Lowell just played UMass pretty tight. And so it makes me pause a little bit there, but I am going to take Siena. The next Friday game, St. Joe's and Towson. Hawks are +1.5. The value stinks. Again, I don't always consider value when I make these picks. All I'm thinking of is this going to win or lose, not make money. Because again, like I'll let you in on a secret. I don't actually bet on any of these games. They come in at 0-2. I have been much too loud of a Hawks supporter to bail. Now, Towson's win over Navy last week was really impressive. I was very surprised by that. I thought that maybe they had a shot against Navy. I did not see 17-5 or 17-6, whatever it was, coming. To put up that many goals on that defense is, did not see that coming. That said, like I said, I've been on the Hawks train for a couple of years here now. So I'm going to stick with the Hawks. Give me St. Joe's to get it rolling +1.5. The last Friday game is the meme bowl, I guess. Duke and Jacksonville. Jacksonville is +10. Double digits for the Finns. I know there are probably zero metrics that support picking Jacksonville. Brennan's too good. Duke's too deep. Blue Devils probably have an edge in every position group. There is, however, one metric I am still going by for this game, and that is the fact that when I look at my calendar, it still says February. Give me the Dolphins. +10. I got Jacksonville staying within double digits. They can do it. On to the Saturday games. NJIT and Manhattan. NJIT is 4-0. 4-0. The undefeated Highlanders. One of the most fun stories in lacrosse right now. By far. Like, yeah, it's. I'm going to call them appointment viewing. You have to find a way to get this game on. They are home in this one. They're hosting Manhattan. They're +1.5. Again, the value stinks. All I'm looking at is that. They are a money line dog, though, at plus 110. I don't think there's any way you could pick against NJIT right now. Like, just live a little. Love the game. Go Highlanders. Give me NJIT +1.5. Give me the money line, too. Next up, we got VMI and the Bonnies and St. Bonaventure. VMI -1.5. This happens every year. I don't know if people really notice it because it rarely gets any pub. And so, I mean, maybe I should pub it more. But VMI, once again, is one of the top point scorers in the country early in the season. And Luke Restorucci, more points than Brennan, than Angeles, than Dialto, than Owen Hill. He's fourth in the country in points. He's scoring a ton. VMI just getting it done. Like I said, they grind out these February games. I am going to roll with the Keydets here. Give me VMI -1.5 over the Bonnies. Army at Mercer. Mercer +11, massive line. I usually like to take the underdog with these gigantic lines, especially when Mercer played to UNC to within 8 a week ago, I think it was. Maybe 2 weeks ago. But the way Army cooked Rutgers makes me think twice about it. I think this is one where you see Coletti have another big day. I think the Army defense has the clamps on. 11 is huge and scary, but I am going to take the Army Black Knights here. Give me Army -11. Lafayette and Binghamton. Binghamton, solid to start the year. They hung tight with Jacksonville, which you can feel good about. They needed OT against the Bonnies, which maybe you feel less good about. Lafayette's -1.5 here after they beat Drexel. I think I'm still going to be on Binghamton +1.5. I'm still kind of waiting to see with the Leopards. I don't think they've played a schedule enough yet for me to really know who they are. So when I'm in that kind of spot, I tend to just take the goals. So give me Binghamton +1.5. Providence and Brown, battle for the Ocean State. Currently Providence getting 1.5. Brown, we talked about a little bit already. I think they have some fight. I think they need to find a little more on offense, a little more depth, a little more spread the wealth. But they're not out to a great start. There's no denying it. The Quinnipiac loss is a tough one for the second year in a row. Providence, however, just got their doors blown off by Harvard. And their defense has been pretty poor the last two games. This is the kind of game where I think Brown can get right. I am going to take Providence here, though, +1.5. Maybe close game. Providence hangs tight. But give me the Friars +1.5. I'm going to kind of hold my nose as I make that one. I have a hard time feeling that one out. Bryant and Quinnipiac. Bryant is a 6-goal favorite against the Bobcats. Quinnipiac has wins over St. John's and Brown. I guess make of that what you will. Tough to get a read on exactly what that means. I came into the season not super high on Quinnipiac. I came into the season much higher on Bryant, who I think really does have a good offense. They really are good on the offensive end. If they can win faceoffs and play some make it take it to their offense, they can run it up on people. That was basically the formula for their win over BU. So the 6 goals, I am not scared of. Give me Bryant -6 in that one. Cleveland State and High Point. High Point has some, you know, good early games against some very tough opponents. Cleveland State has been smacked around by Ohio State and Notre Dame. This is a home opener for the Vikings. So far this year, when High Point has been favored, they blow teams out. Whatever the line is, if High Point's a favorite, they cover it. Even if it's big, they blow people out. I'm going to stick with that as the formula. 6.5 is a big number, but I'm going to take the Panthers. Give me High Point -6.5 to win comfortably. Villanova Colgate. Nova is -2 coming off their loss to Yale. I think I'm still kind of selling Villanova this year. There's some solid, you know, there's talented players out there. They're a little on the small side for me. I think maybe this feels like kind of an in-between year for them. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm just not loving the Wildcats right now. They could win here. This is a winnable game for them. But I'm gonna take Colgate +2 to stay close, maybe even win this game outright. Drexel and Albany. Albany comes in, as we talked about, off that close game with Penn, that good battle with Penn. Drexel off a 1-goal loss to Lafayette. Albany has, you know, we've said already, Pacino, who we know is special. I really do think Albany's offense can play. Drexel's a solid senior-heavy group. Plenty of good returners from a year ago. I really think there's value to that. I think they're really well-coached. I'm going to take Drexel +1.5. Albany is the better team here, though, for sure. Fairfield and Wagner. Wagner's in the running for the worst team in D1, I think. They got absolutely rolled by Lemoyne. They're a 7.5-goal underdog to Fairfield. I'm taking the Stags here without even blinking, not even thinking about it. Just give me the Stags in this one. UNC and Hopkins. So the three favorite games of the weekend are back. This is the first of those three favorite games. To read about why I like this one, you can head over to sticksandlacrosse.com and read my three favorites for the week. I'm loving the UNC young players. I'm loving the dynamic of Coach Petromala on the sideline against Hopkins. As always, there's a lot to really see for intrigue and interest in this one beyond the fact that the teams are good. So sticksandlacrosse.com to see a little bit more about UNC and Hopkins. Mount St. Mary's and UMBC. The Mount offense continues to be very blah for me. They just don't have the horses for me. UMBC did graduate a lot of production from a year ago. I think they've been okay so far, the Retrievers. They battled Drexel. You got to give that to them. I'm going to take UMBC here just because I'm really that far down on the Mount. UMBC is -6, and that's a ton for a game like this, but I'm going to take the Retrievers -6. Navy and Penn State. This is a really good strength-on-strength matchup, I think. You get Jackson Bonnets, you get A.J. Marsh, you get the Navy defense up against a Penn State attack that's super quick, super precise, very tough to keep up with, very elusive basically at every spot. T.J. Malone and Bonnets are both PLL pros. Malone feels like a first rounder to me. On the other end, I think you get like a Jack Posey defending a Xavier Arline. Like, that's really good too. There's, like I said, a lot of fun strength on strength in this one. The Navy loss to Towson definitely shocked me because of the score line, because that was a week where I was thinking about ranking them. But they have the tools to win this game. 5 feels like a little bit too much for me for Penn State to be favored. I'm going to take Navy +5. I'm going to go with Navy +5. The line is just a little too big for me to take the Lions. Richmond at St. John's. I think St. John's could be in for a little bit of a long year. I do think Turry is a good coach. I think he's building something there. But like anything, whenever you change culture or you're trying to build culture, it just takes time. Richmond has been through a season's worth of tough battles here already. They've got the OT game with Maryland. They got the 4-goal loss to UVA. They're basically in the rankings because they keep playing these really good teams close. They're talented too. I don't want to take anything away from them. They're legit. They're going to spend the next few weeks here notching wins. This is a 12-goal line. That is a ton. Last year, my go-to move was St. John's is an underdog by a million goals. Take the Johnnies and they cover. And it worked a lot. The Johnnies were great against the spread a year ago. I'm sticking to it, man. Give me St. John's +12. 12 is just too many. Richmond wins heavy here. Don't get me wrong. But give me St. John's +12. Harvard Bucknell. Harvard is a touchdown favorite. They are -7 against the Bison. Guess what, folks? I'm not picking this one. Why? This game is at Staples High School here in Connecticut. And I will be weighing on the local broadcast here with some analysis between quarters at the half. And because I'm going to be on the broadcast, I don't think I'm supposed to make picks in the game. I don't know. I don't know what the ethical standards are there, but I'm afraid of it. So I am not going to pick this game, but you should tune in and check it out. Harvard looks really good. Really good. So I couldn't be more excited to get a little time on air for this one. It's going to be just like a school broadcast and me jumping on. But look, anytime I get any chance I get to do that stuff, I love to do it. So Harvard Bucknell. Harvard is -7. Game is in Connecticut. It's at State. It was originally listed at Wilton High School. If you're a Connecticut person, it's actually going to be at Staples. Don't go to the wrong high school. Go to Westport. So that'll be a good one. Dartmouth, Holy Cross up next. Dartmouth lost to Bucknell to start the year. Kind of a tough way to open up the Kerwin era. It won't be a one-year turnaround. It was probably easy to maybe talk yourself into that if you're a big Green fan based on the strength of the coaching staff you brought in. But the one-year turnaround, it's really just not how it works in college lacrosse. This is not the PLL where you can go from worst to first. Even in game one, though, Dartmouth did look good and improved in a number of areas from a year ago. And so I think you like that. I think the arrow is pointing up. It's just that's a tall ladder. It's a long climb. So Dartmouth is favored by 6 in this game. That's a lot, but I am not loving the Crusaders. I'm going to take the Big Green -6 here to get their first win of the year and their first win for Coach Kerwin. Queens and Hampton. I've got Queens here. There's no line available yet, or at least there wasn't at the time when I'm recording this. So I'm just going with a straight winner. And obviously I'm going to go Queens in that spot right now. If the line is anything other, anything less than like, I don't even know what the number would have to be. Probably near double digits, but I'm going to take Queens. Lindenwood and LIU. Lindenwood trying to go out with a bang. I feel for that program, for those kids, for the recruits heading there. They're a 5.5 goal underdog in this one. I'm probably going to pick Lindenwood to cover every week because I'm a sucker for a good story. I don't love LIU either, but either way, give me the Wood. Give me Lindenwood plus 5.5. Loyola and Rutgers. Good game there. Rutgers struggle against Army was pretty serious. Loyola's a different animal. AJ Pilot neutralizing Ross Scott gave Rutgers some issues, I think. Loyola doesn't have, in my estimation, someone who can do that. Even though Remy Reynolds is a fun one to think about because he's a Rutgers transfer to Loyola. But ultimately, I think the Scarlet Knights, there's just too many good Dodgers there, too many weapons with Knobloch and Scott. Loyola offense, they might find the back of the net a bunch in this one. I still think there's talent out there. But Rutgers, I think, gets the NASCAR going in this one. I think the value sucks, but give me Rutgers plus 1.5. It's plus 1.5 for horrible value. But give me Rutgers plus 1.5. UMass and Merrimack. UMass, kind of a tough read. They play Army within one. Then they kind of let Lowell hang around. And then they blow out Marist. So what UMass team do you have showing up, I guess, is the question here. Whoever it is, Matt Noe's going to be in goal. Merrimack only managed 8 goals against LIU. This defense of UMass is way better than LIU's. I'm going to take UMass, even on the – it's a giant line. -6 is a lot for me to go for UMass right now. But give me the Gorillas -6. Feeling scared about it, but I'm doing it. Air Force and Stony Brook. Stony Brook has lost back-to-back against Penn State and Rutgers. So they're playing tough teams. Both those games they lost by only 4 goals, so they're hanging in. They can score with anybody. And after those opponents, Air Force might not even feel like that tall of a task here. Palinetti's going to have mismatches. Armitage could have mismatches. Stony Brook's -1.5 here. I'm going to take the Seawolves to get it done in this one. Denver and Cornell. I like Denver this year. I really do. And this is the kind of thing you say right before you pick against the team, but... I'm a fan of the Pio offense. I think Stathakis is really good. The coaching staff is one of the best in the sport. They've had some weird moments, some weird weeks even. I'm not sure I totally trust the Pios yet. I love the talent. I love the coaching staff. As I'm saying this, look, the last really big game they played was the Hop game, and they looked like a machine in the fourth quarter. So it's not like they're going to be a team that goes quietly. I think I'm just a bigger fan of where Cornell is at. I like Cornell a lot. I think their defense is going to get tested here. You'll get Follows and Silstrop, which will be good. You'll learn a lot about Follows in that one. But I'm going to go with the big red here. I'm going with Cornell -2. And we'll see if Denver makes me pay for that. Maryland and Princeton, the second of my 3 favorite games for the week. Head to sticksandlacrosse.com to see what I like so much about this one, outside of the obvious of Zapatello and Coulter McAsey. Utah and Vermont. Utah has not been scoring like last year. They have not been as fast as last year. The pace is down. I haven't looked, but I'm going to guess what I think is pretty safely, that they probably aren't as efficient. I think they're clearly missing Cole Brahms at the faceoff spot. That edge going away is really delivering a blow to their pace and their efficiency, I think. It's something I thought might happen. I did not think it would hurt them as much as I think it has. I'm still a buyer on the Utes. I think they can get it going this week. I'm going to take Utah -2.5, but they're definitely not as fast as they were last year. They're not playing with the same pace. Hofstra and Marist, a battle between two teams that I liked in the preseason and other people told me were bad in the preseason. So basically this is a no win for me. Someone's going to lose and my haters are going to be right about it. Just brutal. Just the worst kind of spot for me. Anyway, I'm going to take the team I was more high on and more people were low on. Give me Hofstra -2 in this one. Chase Patterson, get on board now. Chase Patterson. Let's say he stays hot and he makes the difference. gets Hofstra the extra possessions, and he makes it happen. Penn and Delaware, my third favorite game of the week. I think this is a fun unit-on-unit matchup here between groups that are trying to figure themselves out. So head over to sticksandlacrosse.com and you can read about Penn Delaware there. Next, we got Robert Morris and Canisius. Bobby Moe has a new OC this year. They still have a decent start to the year. Canisius is +5, and that feels like a little too much for a team that beat Bellarmine, played Hobart close. I'm going to take the goals here. I'm going to take Canisius +5 against Bobby Moe. Michigan and Marquette. Marquette comes off a beatdown at the hands of Notre Dame. Michigan comes in off the basically back-to-back cupcakes, so they should be riding pretty high. Wolverines are -4. Mason Woodward, Michael Bame is a good one. I think Marquette has a path to victory here. I think it involves a great day facing off and a great game from Caleb Creaser. But if they do those things, they can win this game. I'm going to take the goals. Give me Marquette and a whole lot of worry and regret about the fact that I'm doing it. Give me Marquette +4 against Michigan. Sacred Heart and Lemoyne. Lemoyne has played, this is their second D1 game, and they're going to be favored in both those games. Go figure. As I said last week, Lemoyne spent basically all of last year ranked number one in D2 and then got upset in the NCAA tournament. They were a wagon. They were loaded with weapons, and basically all those weapons are back. Joey Pezzamenti is one of my favorite players on that team. He can flat out ball. The whole offense is really good. I'm going to slander my home state here. Give me Lemoyne -2.5 over Sacred Heart. UVA and Ohio State. A real peach. I mean, maybe the game of the weekend, I think. There's just a lot of fun stuff in this one. UVA is the better team, full stop. As I look at those two teams, it's clear that UVA is better, right? They have very good offense. They have a close defense that's going to win individual matchups, that's going to win as a group. They're aggressive at both ends. I can only imagine how much playing against UVA sucks because they're coming at you with everybody on both ends of the field all the time. Ohio State, though, on paper, has some good pieces to kind of counter UVA. Bobby Van Buren and Schellenberger is a great matchup, with the caveat that, you know, we're providing that BVB is 100%, if he's 100% healthy. The Ohio State offense is big. They're skilled. Their transfers are gelling more every week. I also think Ohio State will have a big face-off edge in this one. I'm going to say Tommy Burke gives them a big edge. And this is the week where UVA maybe runs into some face-off trouble. Their face-off woes might get exposed a little bit. The line is big in this game. UVA doesn't always do well when it comes to covering the gigantic lines. I'm going to take Ohio State +7.5. I'm getting 7.5 goals. I'm taking Ohio State in this one. Give me the Buckeyes. Notre Dame and Georgetown, last game of the weekend. The Irish, the Hoyas. Hoyas got that first win against Penn. I'm sure that feels great because they started 0-2 and you don't want to go winless in February. It feels like they're figuring it out. I think the Hoyas defense is in for by far their toughest matchup of the year. The next time I see someone look comfortable against this Notre Dame midfield is going to be the first time. And that's to say nothing of the fact that the Cavanaughs are out there too. So Notre Dame is -7 in this one, and that is a giant line to have against another top 20 team. But, I mean, like, I'll make exceptions for the Irish. I'm not scared of it. I'm going to take Notre Dame over Georgetown, and I'm not afraid of the -7. Irish -7 over Georgetown. And that is going to do it. That's the weekend slate. Happy Friday, everybody. Positive Friday. Again, be positive. Enjoy the games. Enjoy the players doing cool stuff. Don't try and find a way to make it not that cool. If it's cool, just enjoy it. Check out those three favorite games on the Stixon site at sticksandlacrosse.com. The NLL Weekend Primer will be up there as well. 8 NLL games this weekend. Loaded slate. And that's a league where we're heading towards a playoff push starting. We're in the second half of the regular season in the NLL already. I can't believe it, but we're there. Check those out. Enjoy those games. There's Friday night games as well there in the indoor league. So do enjoy your weekend. Enjoy some lacrosse. Check out Harvard and Bucknell's stream if you want to hear me talk. If this is more than enough for you, I can't say I blame you. Thank you again for sticking around with me. And we'll see you next week.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
Hey, go-getters. Let Noom Sport Hydration Tablets power up your fun and keep you ready to move. Simply drop, dissolve, and enjoy crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade or lemon lime with 5 essential electrolytes and crafted with clean, non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients. Noom should be your go-to hydration choice because when you're hydrated, you can do more, go further, and recover quicker. Shop now on noonlife.com and get ready for endless fun because anything can happen after noon.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.